sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome Friday edition. Steve Jones Show, Kevin Hurt in tow as we roll along here on a Friday. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to have them on board every Friday. We head into the weekend, and you need to be fully stocked for what appears to be a beautiful weather weekend. Beverages, snacks, pickle bar. I think Buhner's over at the pickle bar as we speak right now, just sitting there. I don't know if that's legal or not, but he is. And, of course, we have the Hilster's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilster's General Store, 7 miles south on Sealands Grove and Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. I'm safely ensconced, with the door locked, by the way, with the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Looking forward, by the way, to being at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club on Wednesday for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. We'll be there with a 7:30 tee time. And then after that, playing with two great partners that support everyone else on the team the entire time, and one who is obviously out for himself and hoping that we use as many of his drives as possible. And then when we hit one into the woods, jumps up and down because it means we might get to use his shot. I mean, is that really the kind of guy you want to play around to golf with? That's what I'm subjected to for 5 hours. Fortunately, the other two are fabulous people. And on top of that, the venue, the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, is incredible.
I only cheer today on yours. You know that.
It's just so low.
Just on your shots. Everybody else's shot, I'm fine with.
Look, it's just low. I mean, do you really want to? I have to go out and buy myself a 5-iron, by the way. I had to buy myself a 5-iron.
Why? What happened?
It was last August. I was playing. I hit a drive on number one. What we did was Dave Baker and I started on 10 on the blue course. So when we got to number one, that was our 10th hole. I hit a drive that cleared the bunker on the right-hand side at 10, but it went up within about 6 inches of a pine tree. Okay. And I'm talking, there's only like two or three pines on the right side, and it went up near one of those. So I'm left-handed. Now, if I'm right-handed, this is not an issue. If I'm right-handed, this isn't an issue. Because I can just take it, snap it through, maybe advance the ball 50, 60 yards, and set up a third shot in. So, but being left-handed, I had to take a shot where I had to hit it. And so I took a practice swing, and when I did, I hit the tree. Because it's only 6 inches away from the tree, so there really isn't much I can do here. So I turned around, and I thought, well, maybe I'll try and hit it right-handed, but there was no way to hit it right-handed. And I don't have a flat club. I mean, my putter is not a two-sided, flat-sided putter, like most people now today. So I'm like, well, I don't know what to do here. So I said, maybe if I take and just hit straight down on it, I can at least chop at it, move it 20 feet, get in it, because I'm only like 5-6 feet off the fairway. I can just chop at it, get a 20-foot fairway, maybe a shot in and knock it in. So I take the practice swing, but when I did, I chopped down, I still hit the tree. And I did it again, I chopped down, I still hit the tree. I said, I got to pull back just a little bit. So I finally tried and said, well, you know what? Time to get it done here. So I went, I chopped down on it, hit the tree, and I snapped the 5-iron in two. I advanced the ball about 30, 40 feet. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, that's better.
So I snapped the 5-iron off on the tree just on the follow through of the shot. So I lost the club, and then again, I took out a wedge. I knocked it 10 feet from the hole, and I parred. But
that's better than my 5-iron story, though. The way I broke my 5-iron, I hit a shot. It didn't go far enough, so I figured, well, I might as well use the 5-iron again. I was walking it alongside the cart and got it caught underneath the tire.
Well, that's far better than my story. Far more visual entertainment value, too. But, yes, I have to go out and I have to buy a five iron. I don't have one in my bag right now. So, I mean, because we might need that once or twice.
I'd let you borrow mine, but I don't want the bad karma, and besides, I'm right-handed.
Oof. I've never seen anybody hit a ball like that. Today's show, Rob Dibble is going to join us at 3:35. Today, we're going to talk to Rob about Major League Baseball, and yes, I plan on bringing up Roy Halladay. Okay.
Good.
Happy?
Hopefully he has answers.
Then, 4:06, I sense a Dan Fogelberg moment.
It's the run for the roses.
Dick Girardi will join us from Louisville to talk about tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. And then a sit-down with Patrick Chambers in the final half hour about basketball. I think it sounds like we're chock full today. Don't you think so?
I'm looking forward to it. I especially look forward to the pick from Girardi because I did well with it last year.
Yesterday, by the way, your defense of the umpire, right?
Yeah.
Alienated thousands of fans out there.
Probably, because nobody likes
thousands
the umpire.
Fans.
Nobody likes the umpire. You know how I could tell if I was calling a good game? I heard it from both sides of the dugout, or from both dugouts. I knew I was calling a good game at that point.
Are you sure?
That's an old umpire joke. That's an old umpire joke.
If you're hearing it from both sides, you may have been lousy from both sides. Are you sure?
That's an old umpire joke. If you know, you know you're calling a good game if you hear it from both dugouts.
Wow. How about that? Wow. Well. Are you sure about that? Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, which Kevin frequented after many a game being argued with. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK, but first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
At Sunbury Motor Company, the letters SMC mean a lot to us. Those letters stand for a tradition of trust since 1915. SMC stand for
selling more cars
and
satisfying more customers.
SMC, it stands for Sunbury Motor Company. And when you need a Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia, you have our lowest price promise. Log on to sunburymotors.com to
see more choices
and
save more cash.
And then you can say, start my car. I'll take it.
SMC.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. You want to make sure that you are fully stocked for the weekend. That means Brewers Outlet. That's the place to stop for beverages, snacks, and I believe Buhner right now is bellied up to the pickle bar as we speak. That's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Our Hilshers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilshers General Store. Hilshers General Store is 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. You can always check it out, preview all the great things that they have online at www.hilshersstore.com. It's that time. Go on in there, check it out, because it's spring, and they have plenty of items in Hilshers General Store that will take care of all your spring needs. We move on to, of course, the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, where I'm safely ensconced and away from Kevin, although that's not a bad thing. But door's locked, on it for some reason. Here in the Chateau, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In fact, we'll be right around
Sunbury Motors Kia next Wednesday. That's when we'll be at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Kevin and I are in the morning flight. Our team, I think, tees off, 7:30 on Wednesday morning. Looking forward to that. And we're doing it for a great cause. I know I'm going to make a donation in addition to what's going on, because we're trying to help out wherever we can along the way. Hopefully you can make a donation as well and be a part of the golf tournament on Wednesday. Should be a lot of fun. We'll also do the show out there Wednesday afternoon. Then I have to head out to the Coach's Caravan. The one stop I make is actually Wednesday night in Scranton, and I'll be joined there by Bill O'Brien and Patrick Chambers. Now, my role is very simple. I just have to MC the event. I don't really have to do anything. Don't have to think too much on my feet about whatever. It's really about Bill and Patrick and what they have to say to the crowd that will be at Gennetti's in just north of Scranton. Just north of Scranton, up in Dunmore. So we're looking forward to that on Wednesday. So it's a big day, long day on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. The Cubs, what about the possibility of the Cubs leaving Wrigley Field? I touched on this briefly yesterday. The Ricketts family owns the Chicago Cubs now, and this is something that, you have Wrigley Field, and I think to the outside looking in, they go, oh, the charm, it's incredible. But you notice that we've had trends in ballparks. Ballparks used to be built to fit neighborhoods, which is what Wrigley is and what Fenway Park happens to be. But ballparks were meant to fit neighborhoods, whether it was Crosley Field in Cincinnati, Tiger Stadium, Connie Mack Stadium in Philadelphia, Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. I mean, they were fit the area that they were in. Schenley Park is where, you know, the Pirates could get, but have Forbes Field. And so it fit that area. Same thing with Connie Mack Stadium downtown, Shibe Park. Then they went to the cookie cutter layout across the landscape, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cincinnati. One after another built the cookie cutter stadium. Then starting with Baltimore and Camden Yards, they went back to designs courtesy of HOK in Kansas City, designs that fit neighborhoods and also the architecture of the area. Now, you look at Wrigley and you look at, for example, Citizens Bank Park is a gorgeous ballpark. Gorgeous ballpark. It has the old, new look to it, all the modern amenities, but it fits the area perfectly. PNC Park is as beautiful a park as you're going to see, with the skyline of Pittsburgh over the wall, just over the river. They use the Clemente Bridge to get people over. Of course, Camden Yards is very special, I think, with the warehouse in the back. See, that's what I'm talking about, you know, fitting it to the area. And the warehouse in the background is well done. And Great America Ballpark in Cincinnati, AT&T Park in San Francisco. I've been to that with McCovey Cove in the background. Even, I think, Arlington. When I saw Arlington Stadium, the ballpark at Arlington, I thought that was very impressive. Wrigley Field is obviously one of the special cathedrals of baseball. It is the second oldest park behind Fenway. Next season will be the 100th year of Wrigley Field. But you have to modernize the ballpark. Now, the parks I just talked about, Citizens Bank, PNC, Great America Ballpark, Arlington, even to some extent Baltimore. I mean, although Camden Yards is, you know, we're talking about more than 20 years old now. But those parks, all special, all new, and Wrigley Field is not. The Red Sox owners, the Red Sox old ownership, led by John Harrington, almost built a new Fenway Park next to the new one. It was going to be 45, 46,000 seats. It's going to have all the modern amenities, still have a left field wall, things like that. But when John Henry, Larry Lucchino, and Tom Warner bought the Red Sox and Fenway Park, they decided that let's work with what we have here. Because Fenway almost was demolished at the end of the 90s. Almost. That's how close it was. They were going to leave up the left field wall and a little bit of the grandstand over there as part of a museum. That was the plan. But they decided, look, we can work with this within the confines of the neighborhood. And Fenway Park looks essentially the same as the Fenway Park that I went to when I was a kid, with some exceptions. There are now seats over the left field wall. okay, the monster seats. They now have a family picnic pavilion. They extended the deck all the way around on top. So they've done a lot of things, and they've also changed some of the concourses. The ticketing is done outside when you enter. That way you don't have people crammed at gates, and they've turned it into a fan fest on what used to be Jersey Street but is now Yawkey Way. This is what the Cubs need to do. They need to take the gem that they have, pour money into it, make it a better fan experience with all the amenities of the history of Wrigley Field, but also modernizing the ballpark so that the Cub fan has a comfortable experience. Now, if that means putting in a scoreboard that blocks out those sitting on rooftops, well, that scoreboard could mean $20 million a year in advertising. That's possibly two players that you can get that can make a difference in what you're doing. Two players a year, because that's not just $20 million flat. That would be $20 million a year. Now the question is, how do you appease the people who have been sitting on rooftops watching the Cubs for free? Because the Cubs have garnered, I think the businesses say they give the Cubs 17% cut to allow that to happen during the summertime. How do you appease those people? How do you make it work? And that's what the Ricketts family has to do. This threatening to move the Cubs to a new ballpark near the airport, that's not going to work. Wrigley is something special, and they have to embrace that part of it, but they also have to pour money into it to renovate it in such a way where it keeps the character of the park while also giving all the fans the modern amenities that tells them, don't watch the game at home, watch the game at Wrigley. Coming up, we'll talk to Rob Dibble on baseball. And then the next hour, it'll be Dick Girardi from the Kentucky Derby. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street and Sudbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia with 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove and Routes 11 to 15. From Compass Media Sports, for years been an analyst with ESPN, with Fox, now with the Angels along the way as well, Rob Dibble. Rob, I grew up in Connecticut, so I listened to your father for years on WDRC and WTIC. Walt Dibble, one of the finest radio newscasters I've heard. And on that note, I just want to say welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to get into, first of all, you talk about obviously a variety of things on your particular show, but obviously people are going to remember you for talking about baseball. So I want to get your take so far on what you have seen through 1 month of the season, and do you draw any trends from an opening month?
No. If you know, we get another 25 games into the season, then, you know, if I'm a general manager, I start tweaking my team, worrying about, okay, if we're 10 games out of first place, why? Say like the Philadelphia Phillies right now, they're starting to have a little infighting, a little bickering, but they're only 5.5 games out. And there's no reason for guys to panic 27 games into the season. So, you know, you need to settle down that and look at how deep your bench is. The problem is, Steve, is that you've got 12 pitchers or 11 pitchers on almost every major league staff, which it shortens your bench, a lot of extra guys there. And later in games, those last nine outs, which are critical, there's just not that many great arms left in bullpens anymore. And so the game's changed to the point where starters are getting 18, 21 outs, relievers are getting worn out by mid-July. And so it's really, if you don't have a good minor league system or you don't have the wherewithal to go out and trade for big names once you get to the crunch time in the season, this early in the year, I'm not worried about that. Right now, I'm worried about trying to get my team healthy. Let's say the game I'm going to call tonight, the Angels and the Orioles. Angels are missing their ace starter in Jared Weaver and their best reliever in Ryan Madsen, who you saw for many years with the Phillies.
Right.
And so you look at those pieces, who's going to fill those spots for now? And that's why you see some teams struggling. The more, like, say, the Yankees get banged up, it's not showing right now. They're playing and they're exceeding, I think, expectations. But eventually, you know, those weaknesses in their lineup are going to be exposed.
You mentioned teams getting 18, or pitchers getting 18 to 21 outs and then turning it over to the bullpen. How big a difference as the season goes along that it's 18 and not 21?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And, you know, you're even seeing it, you know, the Washington Nationals. The last couple of years, their formula, not just with Strasburg, with Gio Gonzalez and some of their other pitchers, you know, that wears down their bullpen. And last year, you know, you take Strasburg out of the equation, then you look at, you know, Clippard at the end and Storen at the end. They were dog-tired by September and into October. And really, if you don't go out there and make enough moves to cover the lack of the starting pitching and the fact that a lot of guys in blowout games don't need to pitch, you know, and they addressed that with Soriano this year, but you still got the same formula, and it's all around baseball, you know, and the teams that really do well, like the Giants, they go that extra inning, they get to 22, 24 outs more often than not, and the only reason I like the quality start stats, it just shows you how many times they've cut short guys' starts and said, okay, we're going to get the last 9 outs in the bullpen. So I'm going to go to like the fifth or the fourth best guy and take my really good starting pitcher out of the game. To me, it's one of the more ridiculous formulas in baseball, is turning it over to a guy that you're not paying. You know, you're paying starting pitchers $20 million
right,
to go 18, 21 out, and then you're going to, you know, bring in a guy who's making $500,000. You wouldn't do that in football. You wouldn't take out your starting quarterback and put in your third-string quarterback or someone that's not